Well, it was one of the few times I remember getting into trouble. I mean, really, really big trouble at school. The nation was in the midst of a hotly contended presidential election. I remember the news was filled with it, and people were debating it, and so it was only a matter of time before debates would break out among the student body, myself included. Now, the day I got in trouble, we were on the playground at Bryan Elementary School. It was recess. I was in second grade. The debate broke out among we second graders and the big kids. They were probably in fourth grade. Anyway, everything was going wonderfully until one of the big kids looked at me and said, "The only person dumber than Kennedy in the whole world is you guys." Well, we had to respond. I mean, an insult like that? And I was the head debater. And so all the other second graders turned to me and they were looking at me, and I finally figured out the perfect rebuttal. Kennedy, he's our man. Nixon belongs in the garbage can. Before I knew it, everybody was shouting and chanting at everybody else, and it was starting to get really out of control when the principal, Miss Junker, waded into our midst and she asked that ridiculous adult question.
Who started it?
The big kid? You know, the one who insulted me first, he pointed at me. And all of a sudden, all the fourth graders were pointing at me, and the second graders were backing up, and the next thing I knew, Mom and Dad were being called to the principal's office. They came in, and they looked at me, and Dad wanted an explanation. Well, I knew that he was a reasonable man and he'd listen to me, and so I said, "Dad, I didn't do anything wrong." But this kid, well, he was an idiot. It was the wrong thing to say. In our house, you didn't call people idiots. You didn't say someone was stupid, and you didn't say shut up. So Dad, he kind of turned this bright red. And he looked at me and he said, "Young lady, you might as well learn right now that a little respect will get you a whole lot further in life than a boatload of sarcasm." Now, I must have looked at him rather blankly because Mother stepped in at that point. And you know, Mom had this way of just cutting through it all. And you can guess what she said. "If you can't say anything nice,
don't say anything at all."
My parents, you know, they were bright people, they just didn't understand the world of politics. You can't be nice. In that dog-eat-dog world, only the meanest, toughest, and shrewdest people survive. It was true when I was young, and it's true now that I'm middle-aged. The world is a tough place. The latest Gallup poll says that Americans are tired of the meanness that seems to be the hallmark of our political campaigns. And yet, we live in a difficult world. And we know that in these tough times, we need tough leaders. And so we want to know that the people that we elect are not going to back down, that they're going to stand their ground, that they're going to win no matter what, right? Tough times call for tough people. And yet Christians stop and think about it. Has there ever been anyone tougher than Jesus Christ? Here was a man who refused to compromise his values, regardless of who was challenging or threatening him at the moment. And even when he was being beaten and persecuted and sentenced to death, Jesus refused to respond in like manner. When people were insulting him, he remained quiet. When they said, "Answer," he said, "No." You wouldn't believe me anyway. And in that moment when he hung on a cross and he looked out and people were jeering at him, when his friends were mysteriously absent, when people were taunting him, what did he say? "God, I hope you get him." No. He said, "Please forgive them. Please." Because of his actions, because of his compassion for both the powerful and the powerless, because of his willingness to reach out to those who did not have and to minister to those who did have, because he was willing to stand and let everyone have a fair hearing, because everything he did was built on the foundation of God's grace and love, a revolution began that changed the world. And those leaders who joined in that revolution, they were taught in the Apostle Paul's words to hate that which is evil and to overcome it with love. Now, friends, that was 2,000 years ago. And we want to say that the world has changed since then, and it has. But the truth is still the truth. And the truth is, if the people of faith would raise the bar by which we measure ourselves and others, we can and we will overcome the evil that surrounds us. Now, if you want to say impossible, that there is no way a peaceful revolution will work in our violent world today, then I want to know, how many of you remember Nelson Mandela? He was in prison for 27 years. His only crime was his resistance to the apartheid that was a part of the South African government. It was not a pleasant time for Mr. Mandela. As a matter of fact, there are things that happened to him in those prison walls that he still refuses to talk about. The day came when he was released. And he walked out of the prison door. And in place of being silent, he began to speak again. He became, and I think it was 1995, the first black president to be elected in South Africa. The eyes of the world were on that country. For hundreds of years, the majority, the black population, had been oppressed, they had been beaten. Countless atrocities had happened to them. And the entire time, the white government turned their eyes. So what was going to happen now that a black man was president? Would they finally have the revenge that was due them? Nelson Mandela said no. No. That part of our history is behind us. We will treat each other with respect and love. The day that he was sworn in as president, there was a white man standing beside him. Does anyone remember who he was? He was one of Nelson Mandela's former prison guards. He had been invited by Mandela himself to join him on the platform. In the years that followed, there was a rule in South Africa. The people who had been beaten and oppressed, the ones who had had all the atrocities committed against them, deserved their time in court. Their story deserved to be heard. But if they brought charges and they met the person they were accusing in court, that person would not be sentenced if they admitted to their crime and asked forgiveness. In one particularly moving scene, there was a woman who finally had her day in court. She had watched as a member of the military drug her husband out of the house and beat him to death. And then he came back into the house and raped her in front of her children. She sat and she recounted the entire story. And finally the judge turned to the man and said, "Did you do this?" And he said, "Yes, I did. I have lived with a nightmare ever since." And he turned to the woman and he said, "So what sentence do you want him to have?" And she thought for a moment and said, "I want him to come to my house every week. He took my life away from me that day. My children no longer have a father. He will become that father." And with that, she walked across the courtroom, held out her arms, and they embraced. The words of the Apostle Paul had become a living reality. Let love be genuine. hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit and serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And if your enemies are hungry, feed them. And if they are thirsty, give them something to drink. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Wouldn't you know it? God's way, it really does work when we hold ourselves and our leaders accountable to the high standards that Jesus Christ himself set. Now, what better time than now to declare that a revolution based on the goodness, the grace, and the love of Christ has begun in this land. Do not be overcome by evil. Overcome evil with love. To God be the glory. And all God's children say,
Amen. Amen.